Do you love to love? Do you feel at peace when you're by yourself and you might even convince yourself that you're ready for a relationship, only to meet someone and have all your insecurities rear their ugly heads? Yeah, this podcast is for you. I'm Carmen Britling and I'm a neurosemantics coach, yoga and meditation teacher. And I'm also human, with all the challenges that come with that. This is my big leap from serial monogamist to feeling fulfilled as a single person. Consider this a guide to stepping into the shoes that you were meant to fill, so that when you meet someone, they're not a life raft. They're an added bonus. Welcome to the single best. I'm excited to be in your ear. I had one of life's comedic moments happen to me in the car this morning. I was fiddling with the controls and I looked away from the road for a few seconds only to be alerted by my highly intelligent car that I was nearly up the rear end of the driver in front. It was such a jolt and I said, "Jesus!" And I must have pressed some button somewhere on the steering wheel at the same time because all of a sudden my Siri recites over the speakers, "Jesus, also referred to as Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, and many other names and titles, was a first century Jewish preacher and religious leader. This information is found on Wikipedia. Would you like me to continue?" It really made my morning. Jesus himself reminding me to slow down and focus on the road. Ha! Sometimes we need to get a little shocked and jolted to reassess what's of importance. In December 2012, this is quite a revealing story, might I add, before I continue. I'm feeling a little bit vulnerable telling it, but I guess this is what the podcast is about. Just a bit of a reveal now and then too. What can I say? Join in our human experience? So, December 2012, I was on a bit of a manic high. I was caught in an ego space, if you like. I was making okay money and loving myself in a shallow sort of way, spending most of it on clothes, shoes, new hairdos, and booze. Late nights out with a newfound friend who was as wild as me, snorting cocaine off each other's tits in a Sydney strip club toilet cubicle. And I was also involved in an affair with a man who was engaged to be married, giving absolutely zero fucks about anyone else's feelings but my own. And in hindsight, I've been quite ashamed of my 31-year-old self, and I wish I could go back and give her a hug. And that's really what she needed at the time, not a stern talking to her, a slap across the cheek, but a good cry and a hug. But instead, she was hit by a car. 31-year-old me on my way to a Christmas party, earphones in, jamming away, only looking in one direction while stepping out into the road. And in the moment the bonnet hit my leg and I flew into the air, I remember thinking, oh no, I want to rewind this. And then it all went black. And when I came to, I was looking up at a crowd of people that were fussing over me and the distraught driver trying to give me a bottle of water and someone else telling him not to, that I shouldn't be drinking in case I had a concussion. The ambulance came and I was helped to my feet by the paramedics. My vision was blurry in the one eye. My head was pounding. I had one of those plastic clips in my hair that I'd landed on and it was now covering a bump in the back of my head. And the paramedic crew examined me briefly inside the ambulance before taking me to the hospital, saying something about a possibly detached retina. I was just too discombobulated to be worried about that. And the following 6 hours I spent at the hospital having tests done, and when they asked me who they should call, it was really painful for me to say, no, don't call my next of kin, we're newly separated. But I really wanted nothing more than to talk to him, for him to come rushing over and just hold me. I suddenly missed the comfort of having a husband, my husband, even if I had decided to end the marriage. It was a very confusing time. And I posted something on social media about being in hospital, as you do when you're in an attention whore stage. I quickly got a message from the man who was having an affair with me. "Are you okay?" he wrote. I responded that I was and didn't get a reply. And it just dawned on me that he would never really be there for me. He was somebody else's. And I guess you have to hit your head real hard to wake up sometimes. And as I walked out the hospital and into a taxi with nothing but a concussion, a bruised body and a gangster limp, the words of the doctor were, "You are so very lucky." And I guess I was. The very next day, I called my bestest friend who lived in Denver at the time and asked if she wanted to come meet me in New York. And she said, yeah. Always there for me, even from across the seas. We hadn't seen each other for years. And it took a few more goes for me to shake my pirate ways. And I blew a large portion of my savings in the Big Apple. But it was the beginning of a curiosity that I've had since. A curiosity to look at myself and what drives my behavior. The following year, I went into yoga teacher training, became a vegetarian and drank very rarely and didn't snort anything but ocean water for years. It was a different chapter in my life, but I know for a fact, hadn't I gone through all of what I had before this Zen phase, as I call it, my empathy for others wouldn't have stretched as far. And I would have possibly sat on some high horse preaching as if I knew the remedy for all humankind. So I'm grateful for the lessons learned the hard way and for the awareness that I'm nowhere near a finished product yet. I will probably never be. And that's fully okay. How do we elevate our lives and focus more on the things that matter? What does it take? What is the cost of being a better version of self? Even if the cost may be less frivolous time spent with friends or less sleeping until noon, I bet you that the cost of living a more elevated life isn't as high as the cost of stagnation. In the realm of personal development, most of the motivational speakers I listen to have got pretty strict daily routines. They're up at 5 and don't scroll their social media in bed before shut-eye. They're conscious about what they consume, both in the way of nourishment and literature. They have non-negotiables, firm boundaries, and achievable goals that they keep ticking off. They're reasons people aspire to be like them. They're like the modern-day Jesuses, and we're the disciples trying so hard to be everything that they are in our own quirky ways. And should they be asked, they will have someone they look up to and admire as well. And on it goes. We all need a North Star to guide us in those moments when things feel a little heavy. Because if you think for one second that Tony Robbins or even the Dalai Lama doesn't have bad days, you're mistaken. Bad days are part of the human experience. It comes down to how we get through them, what we tell ourselves when they happen. If we can find the golden nuggets buried in the shit, that sort of thing. I had a bad day today, or it started well, and then it got bad, and now it's all right again. But there was a moment there when I thought that this whole day is a write-off, and it's easy to think that downer moments will last an eternity, and maybe all that's required is a good old cry and a bare-knuckle fight with a punching bag. So I went to the gym, lifted heavy and listened to Alanis Morissette screaming about scratching her nails down someone else's back hoping her ex would feel it. And my mood started to shift. So, whatever helps. We don't always have to dive deep and examine our brains to figure out what's causing us to feel certain negative emotions, but getting curious can help discover the root of things. Because ultimately, pulling out the weeds promotes the growth of better things. But sometimes, like today, I really just needed to move. Switch off my thinking brain, stop worrying, stop questioning, and just putting one foot in front of the other, baby stepping my way into a calmer state. I knew I wasn't quite going to reach full-blown joy today. Some days it just isn't as achievable, but that's fine. Some days will be average, a bit monotone. I recently spent a few days with my niece. She's bloody awesome. We We've grown up like sisters, and she's only 3 years younger than me. And she's definitely the more sensible one, always has been. And it's funny that she was the one who was allowed to do most things when we grew up, and I wasn't. Rebellion is the child of an iron-fisted ruler. I just made that up. But you get it, right? She's well into personal development as well, and conversations with her always fill my cup. She taught me a really cool mantra, which is to tell yourself every day that something amazing is going to happen today. It just changes our vibration. It opens our eyes and we meet the day with an expectation of something good. Try it. Start today with it. And then when the day turns and things feel heavy, try it again. Say it again and keep saying it. Today, something amazing will happen. And then as part of a gratitude practice, which is proven to bring us into a more elevated state, list the amazing things that happened at the end of the day. So today, for example, the most amazing thing that happened to me so far was wrapping up this podcast episode. It's making me feel better about everything. And I also had a really beautiful voice note from my friend Kirsty, who has become a bit of a sounding board for me of late. She reminded me to breathe. Excellent advice for a yoga teacher. I love you, girl. Thanks for being. As part of this course that I'm currently doing, we were asked to list up to 10 goals we wanted to achieve and then narrow down those 10 goals down to just one single one that mattered the most. Then we made daily steps towards that one goal, and methods like this can be really effective in recognizing what actually matters to us and discovering ways to get closer to where we want to be. Sometimes we're going about life on autopilot, and somewhere along the way we might feel uninspired or lack the energy or motivation to do much else than sleep, work, eat, repeat. Do yourself a favor and ask yourself what matters to you. It doesn't need to be as dramatic as getting flown over the bonnet of a moving car, but don't wait for something to shake you before you take a long, hard look at yourself and where you are versus where you want to be. Or who you are, and if you're truly pleased with that person. This is a bit of a shorter episode, but to keep it real, it required a bit more from me this weekend. According to my lunar calendar, I'm supposed to feel happy, energetic, and a lack of appetite, but I'm hovering somewhere below that, and I'm definitely feeling snackish. Last night, I ordered a burger and fries as takeaway. So, being the single best starts again from tomorrow at 5 a.m. Speaking of food, I just realized I haven't eaten since 2 and it's now 7:30, so I best go and make some dinner. I do want to thank you again for listening, for your continuous support, your star ratings, and all of the lovely feedback that I'm getting. It really does motivate me to keep creating content, even on days that feel a little bit more challenging. And don't forget, something amazing might still happen today. Until next time, lots of self-love.